Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Joni. From 2013 to 2015, my guest was the managing director of Perfect Print Shirts, a workwear printing company based out of Birmingham, England. While working as managing director, my guest decided to start a consultancy on the side, and in August of 2014, she launched her side hustle. Just 10 months later, she went full-time as a client enrollment strategist at PetraFoster.com. Now, let's hack Petra Foster. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, Caliper. Have you ever hired a promising applicant only to find their best performance was during the job interview? Whether you're screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help. Caliper offers in-depth assessments for potential hires and current employees. Their deep knowledge and personality insights uncover key traits and behaviors, plus what motivates employees to succeed. Caliper's unique approach works with every size company and industry, from startups to the Fortune 500. In fact, their science and expertise have helped over 30,000 businesses hire and retain and develop top talent. Caliper has an incredible offer for Hack the Entrepreneur listeners. Assess your team for free. You'll discover what makes each person tick and improve the performance of your team. They'll also give you an hour of free consulting. To find out more right now, go to calipercorp.com/hack. That's calipercorp.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Petra, welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I think we're going to have a lot of fun.
I know we're going to have a lot of fun.
Ooh, that's the attitude. Nice. So what do you say? Should we just jump into this?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Excellent. Excellent. All right, Petra, you are a woman who wears many hats, but today we're talking to Petra, the entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So could you tell me, as an entrepreneur, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Oh, John, biggest thing I would say what has made me successful is being completely opinionated and polarizing. I have got so many opinions about different things, especially about entrepreneurship, about online marketing, about the way we should be running our businesses. And because I have so many different types of opinions that often conflict with the major gurus out there, that has what has been able to get me so noticed and also been able to get me the success that I have now. It's my opinions.
Wow. I like this. So I've asked this question to about 335 people. I've never had this answer.
Good.
So I like this. So let's figure this out. Where I know people, like when they're trying to create sort of an online brand or a business, I mean, typically you want to kind of find your market and sort of fit in. Like, I mean, you want a position, but also you don't want to rock the boat too much is the general consensus. So how come you just decided like, no, screw this. I'm going to be like completely opinionated and polarize everyone. And that's going to help me.
So yeah, the consensus is not to rock the boat, but when you are just starting out in business and when no one knows you and, you know, as an entrepreneur, our first focus is to really make money. It's to replace our income than when we were working. So I decided that there was a lot of things that online brands, like well-known coaches and consultants and marketers that were doing, and they were giving advice. You know, they give they give advice about how to grow your business, how to make money online based on where they are now, you know, because they're millionaires, but not based on what they did to get there in the first place. So what I began to realize after doing my, you know, doing my research about the different types of people that are out there who I could get support off, they're all talking about things that there's no way that I could do as a beginner entrepreneur. They were talking about everything else except for actual selling, everything else except for sitting down in front of a prospect and selling them your services. So the things that they will talk about is, right, okay, you've got to build a Facebook, you've got to build a mailing list, you've got to get a $5,000 website, you know, you've got to do Facebook advertising, you've got to create a course. All of these things that they're teaching brand new entrepreneurs to do, which costs a lot of money. When you're starting an online business, you've got to be honest, you know, a lot of us don't have money when we start. So we have to make sure that, you know, we can get in front of that prospective client and say, look, I can help you and I can, you know, have that conversation and work with me, rather than doing all of the work that so many marketers are sharing online, which just doesn't work if you don't have the money to do that. So I have been very vocal over the past couple of years talking about the things whereby if you're not making, you know, if you haven't made your first $5,000 month, your first $10,000 month, the last thing that you want to be doing is paying for things that you just shouldn't, that you just can't afford just yet, okay? Such as expensive and intricate funnels, such as copywriting websites, beautiful branded photo shoots where, you know, you're kind of running through a field of daisies and you've got your arms up in the air. You know, that is not what you want to do first of all, okay? And because I do have that strong opinion and because, you know, I'm talking about this online constantly, that has allowed me to stand out. It's allowed me to position myself in the marketplace as the client enrollment strategist, as the person that's going to be helping you to enroll your first high-end premium client, okay? Because I know that so many of my audience, they've bought courses, they've bought numerous courses, they've hired numerous different coaches that has taught them about things that they're just not ready for, okay? So I've been able to be so explicit and so polarizing with my message, which is don't do any of that. Stop thinking about funnels and Facebook ads and all of that stuff and focus on getting directly in front of your ideal client and having that one-to-one dialogue with them. Now, because of that, have I ruffled some feathers? Absolutely. Of course I have. But for me, it didn't matter because I had to share my truth. I had to share what has brought me success, what has helped me to, you know, build my business and make good money doing it. And then what I do is then replicate that with my clients so that they can start off earning their first $5,000 or $10,000, even $20,000 consistently. Once they've done that, once they know how to sell, then by all means, please go and get a beautiful website. Go and do beautiful photo shoots, okay? Do all of that. Hire a Facebook ad strategist. Do that once you've made money. And so because of that, yes, it's got me noticed, okay? But the good thing is that it's gotten me noticed by people who believe the same things as me. Because as an entrepreneur, when you're just starting out, what you can't do is you cannot be in the middle of the road, John, okay? Because in the middle of the road is where you get killed. You cannot be in the middle of the road. You have to be completely, fully expressed, share your expertise, share your opinions. And then what's going to happen when you then start to share your worldviews, you are going to be connecting with other people who have those same worldviews, but they're just probably a bit too shy to say that, you know, to say it out loud. And they're the ones that are going to be booking those consultations with you. They're the ones that are going to be saying, yes, I want to work with you. And they're the ones that are going to be paying you premium rate in full and on time.
Okay, so let's go back a little bit. This idea of you don't need expensive funnels, you don't need the website, you don't need copywriters. all that stuff. But then you said all you have to do is focus on getting in front of your ideal client and sort of making your case. Mm-hmm. Do you mean like physically in front of them, or do you mean some other way?
So yes, you've got physical and you've also got social. So for example, when I started out consulting, I went to networking events. So I went to networking events, you know, 3 times a week, speaking to people about what it is that I do. And I was booking consultations right there at networking events. So I enrolled my first clients within 6 weeks, and within 6 weeks, I made $13,000, okay? That's completely brand new. And I didn't have a massive online presence then. I was just starting out. So you can get in front of your ideal clients by going to events, physical events, and you can also get in front of them online as well. So I predominantly use Facebook, and I do have some YouTube videos out there as well. But I love doing Facebook Lives. I love to, you know, share my content and, you know, my expertise in Facebook groups and, you know, on LinkedIn and online. So you can get in front of your clients by not necessarily having to pay for paid advertising.
Fair enough. So it is physical, but sort of through a social aspect. But so you do need a website probably, but not, it doesn't need to be a $5,000 website. It could literally be a WordPress site with a theme you pay $50 for.
Absolutely. Or it could simply be a landing page.
There we go. Even easier.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So I have clients that don't have websites, yet they've still been able to enroll clients, because a lot of the time you can tend to focus on the wrong things. You want to be focusing on connecting with human beings. So focus on connecting with them, speaking to them, understanding what it is that they need, and seeing if you can deliver that to them. So you don't necessarily have to. Yes, obviously, eventually you definitely need a website, but don't let that be your focus. So don't, you know, even if your website, it doesn't look how you want it to look, you know, don't be ashamed of it and don't think, oh my God, no, I can't speak to people. No, I can't do videos because my website isn't perfect. That's not what we want. You know, being an entrepreneur isn't about being perfect. It's about sharing who you are, connecting with real people, and having that knowing that problem that you solve. And you can do that by literally meeting people online and booking a consultation with me via Skype and having that connection.
I love it. So at the beginning, Petra, you said your one thing you do is being opinionated and polarizing. Now, every sort of business expert out there talks about this 80-20 rule for business. You're supposed to find mm-hmm. the 20% that gives you that 80% of results. You're supposed to do what you're good at and then delegate the rest. Petra, can you tell mm-hmm. me something that you were absolutely not good at in your business?
Oh, yes, I certainly can. I am not good at anything to do with technology. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. I remember when I tried to do my first webinar, that was about 2015, and, you know, I posted it on Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and I literally had one person show up. I had one person show up on that webinar, and then I thought I was talking. She couldn't hear me. I didn't understand what I was doing, and I literally panicked, had a breakdown, and cried. Because I didn't have a clue what I was doing. So technology is not my best friend at all. And I'm okay with that. I've accepted that. So now I have a VA. She's a tech VA. She sets up my webinar, okay? And she puts my funnel together, because that is just not my thing at all. So I'm a big believer in, you know, if you've got the money, just hire it out, you know, get someone else to do that for you, and just focus on what it is that you can do best. And don't be ashamed, because we're human beings. We're not meant to be good at everything. We're meant to have our one thing, and just focus on that one thing, and what you can't do, just hire it out.
Yeah. And so you do one webinar, one person shows up, it fails because the people can't even hear you. Is there ever something mm-hmm. in the back of your head that just says, maybe I shouldn't do this in my business? Maybe I should just try something else?
Yes, absolutely. So that happened in around summer 2015. And I didn't do another webinar. I was like, right, forget this. I'm not doing webinars. But then I was like, you know something, Petra, you've got to give this a chance. So I started to do webinars again in January. And then the same type of thing happening. People couldn't come on the webinar. It was just a complete disaster. So webinars, for me, I do them now live, but when I was first starting out, they were difficult. But I knew that in my business, to get to the next stage, that was something that I had to do. I had to get in front of more people. So even though I was completely terrified of doing webinars, and especially not even knowing if anyone's going to turn up, I was completely terrified of that, but I knew that's something that I had to get over, and I just had to do. The good thing about doing that is that now I have two automated webinars, that they just run consistently. People can go on my website and watch those straight away. But then every couple of months, I do a live webinar.
And then possibly like test it against the ones that are running?
Yes. Yeah. So the different subjects. So because I teach sales, I do have a webinar, a automated webinar that basically shares exactly how to enroll, to have an enrollment conversation. And that's on my website, and that runs consistently. But then my live webinars are usually a complete different subject.
I see. I get it. So, okay, let's move this to, this is kind of part of it, but let's kind of move this segue into projects. So we're talking about webinars to sell probably products or services.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know you have like strategy sessions available, you have like an ebook available, and you take on clients. But let's talk about a new project. So whether it's a new product or a new sort of funnel that you want to implement,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure these ideas come to you when you're working, when you're walking, when you're showering, all these ways we have ideas. But Petra, what's the way that you, when an idea comes to you or is brought to you, but what process, and whether it's a written process or like a gut process you have, but what process do you go through to decide when a project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
So the process that I have is every morning I have quiet time. So I get up in the mornings and I have 15 minutes of silence, okay? And usually it's during that moment where I then begin to have ideas about different ways to launch or different project ideas. And what I'll do, I'll always have a pen and paper with me, and I just write down ideas. So I'll write down, okay, what is it that I need to do now? How is it that I need to get from here to there? So I like to give myself at least 6 weeks. I tend to work in 6 weeks. So I like to give myself at least 6 weeks to launch something new, to work on a new project. So what I do is, first of all, who would need to be involved in my project? So at the moment, I have a team of people that I work with. So what I would do, I create the plan of what it is that I want to launch. And then within that plan, I then set out my dates. And then I set out tasks for each one of my team, you know, what they need to do, when they need to do it, when they need to do it by. And then I just write that out. And I love writing, you know, pen and paper is what I use. And then what I'll do, I'll type it again in Google Docs. And then I will upload that Google into Trello, create a specific board, and everyone has got the timelines. They know exactly what they need to do and by when. Money is allocated for that project, and that's how I plan everything.
Wow.
So yeah.
Pen and paper, or like quiet time, sort of figuring out what you want. Pen and paper to, yeah, Google Docs to Trello.
Yeah.
So what's this? What's sort of your thought process behind projects that you give 6 weeks? Like, do you have sort of like at the beginning of the year, do you schedule and be like, okay, I'm going to launch 5 projects this year and they're each going to take this long? Or is it not that methodical? It's just kind of, that's how you feel it takes.
So because I was doing one-to-one consulting for quite some time. And then in September last year, I then decided I was going to have a group program. So with the group program, because what I noticed when I was with my clients on a one-to-one, most of them were enrolling clients within 6 weeks or less. So they were making their first sort of 10,000 within that first 6 weeks. So I sat down and I thought, hang on, if my clients are getting the income that they need within 6 weeks, then why am I working with my clients for 3 months? It's not necessary, because during this time, during the 3 month process, I'm working with them. I'm helping them to create their webinars, their webinar slides, and all of that stuff. But as I've just mentioned earlier, I don't enjoy webinars. So why am I teaching it? I don't enjoy it. Okay. And it's not necessary for people to enroll clients right now anyway. So then I decided to really take a step back and look at what is the exact process that was that enabled me, that enabled my clients to book more clients within 6 weeks. So I wrote down every single step that it took, and I planned it out. And then because also copywriting isn't my strong point, Facebook ad management isn't my strong point either. So I hired 2 members in my team last year as well, and then worked together over a period. I started the idea in September. Then I launched the group program in December. So during that time, I was building my list. I was doing videos. I was growing my audience. I had a complete strategy of how I was going to grow my audience. So what type of videos were I going to create? What days were I going to do my videos? The subjects of the live videos that I was going to do. So I did have a strategy in place of how I was going to build my audience, because at that time, my list was only about 500 people. That's literally how much it was. And we just had that process. And then I would say we then took from November to December about 6 weeks to launch the whole program. And then we launched it a week before Christmas and people signed up for it. And that was my first group program. And that was Sales in 6 Mastery. Now, the brilliant thing about, because we took the time to plan, to write the post, to write the emails, what I did this year in February is literally recycled so much of what we did beforehand. So we recycled the Facebook post, the emails, everything. We had dates of what I was going to do, who was going to do what. So the launch post, the launch time in February was only, it was 7 days. I launched in 7 days.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you, so this is drastic though, like from one-on-one coaching for several years to completely getting rid of that and going with like the online course style.
So my group program is not a course. So what it is, it's a live group program for 6 weeks.
Oh, so, I see. Interesting.
So on a Monday, we have the live classes, okay? And then we have the Q&A afterwards. Then on the Thursday, we have Q&A as well. And then we have the Facebook group. So it's a live course, lots of interactions. I hold people accountable. You know, they get on Zoom, they speak to me about what's going on. The whole purpose of my program, which is called Sales in 6 Mastery, which is basically the 6-step system, get your ideal clients to eagerly enroll onto your premium program within 6 weeks or less. That is the focus. Book consultations and close them on the first call and get paid. That is all we do within Sales in 6 Mastery, and it's live. Yeah.
And so basically, though, you honed this whole process with one-on-one coaching first.
Yes.
You figured out what worked. You realized you don't need 3 months. You only need 6 weeks. And now, rather than teach one-on-one, why not teach you to a group?
That's right. We get the same process. I'm doing the same process since 2014.
Yeah.
So it's the exact same process, yeah. And it's really rewarding as well for the clients that are in the program, because they get, it's a collaborative effort. I actually attract so many introverts. So the people that I attract are introverts. They are probably, they are charging by the hour. Some clients charge $30 an hour, some $100 an hour. And they've never sold packages before. They've never sold anything for $3,000 or more before. So it's a massive learning curve for them, but they embrace it. They embrace it and they do it. And we're currently now, as of today, in week 4, of the program, and 8 people have already enrolled clients at $3,000 or more.
Wow.
And they've never done that before.
Wow. So running a live group program, what's like, you had been teaching the one-on-one, so you knew sort of the format, you knew what to teach, but then taking it to a group setting, what's something that happened, Petra, that like you just didn't expect to happen within that?
Well, I totally freaked out, John, to be fair, because I had never worked in a group before. And so I didn't have, like, the promise, the brand promise that I was making is, well, like, work with me in this program, you're going to enroll clients within 6 weeks. That was a big, bold statement, because I had no idea that they were going to do it. I had no idea if that could even happen, because there was no one-on-one time with me. So a couple of clients did upgrade. So I had two levels. I had the group level where there was no one-on-one, and then I had a VIP level where you had one-on-one coaching with me. Okay, so I was very confident that the ones that had one-on-one coaching with me, they would get clients. But then the miraculous thing happened, and that the people that never had one-on-one coaching with me, they did enroll those clients. So I was really obviously happy about that. But before that, I was really freaking out. I was saying to my friends, you know, my business friends, oh my God, what if no one enrolls any clients? What on earth am I going to do? Oh my God, this is not going to work. So yes, I did have a mini freak out, which is understandable. But then, yeah, what I didn't expect to happen is I didn't expect my clients to be so understanding, because I'm a very open person. I'm an open book. So I was like, look, you know, you are the first people to go through this program. And believe me, I was absolutely nervous, but you've made me so comfortable. I mean, gosh, they've made me cry. Because I'm really happy about how the program's going. So I was just really, really surprised at how much they really appreciated me and really liked me. I know that sounds strange, but in my life, I've had so much rejection. You just have no idea. I've been picked on at school. I've been rejected at work. I've always struggled building real relationships with people. I've always been introverted. Even though I do videos online, I'm actually quite quiet. So if I'm actually in a room with a lot of people, I'll be the one just sitting there listening, observing. So I didn't know how I was going to manage a group. And I don't like attention. I don't like people looking at me. I mean, John, I didn't have a wedding because of this process. I was like, right, I don't want to walk down the aisle in front of everyone looking at me. So I didn't have a wedding. We just had a quiet wedding because of that reason. So, yeah, I was just really, really surprised of how much they liked and embraced me, to be honest. Yeah, awesome.
I love that, because it's such a fear that, and like a rational fear that all of us have, but people are so understanding, especially when you are really like open to them. And people like want to see you succeed as well as themselves.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah. All right, Petra. Well, this has been an absolute blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I can.
Yeah.
It's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So it seems to be this gap we live in as entrepreneurs, as dreamers. I feel like we're always projecting our personal successes into the future, meaning in 3 months, when you hit that sales target, or 6 months from now, when you stand on that stage, whatever it is you set for yourself, Petra, you and I both know that right before you hit that goal, you're going to set 5 bigger goals into the future. And It seems like no matter what we accomplish personally, that it's always going to be in the future that we're going to see ourselves as successful. And we end up in this weird gap. So I would like it. You've been in business now for several years. You've had some successes, and I'm sure some wins and some losses. But rather than looking forward from here, I'd like you to stop and look back. Look back at the last 3 years and tell me sort of at the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses. Tell me how you sort of feel about the whole journey up until today.
Wow. Okay. That's a very big question. So the journey has been self-discovery, because I think I mentioned earlier that I faced so much rejection. And even during my entrepreneurship, I faced, you know, rejection. People saying, Petra, you know, you're rough around the edges. Petra, you know, you need to, you know, be more professional, quote unquote. Now, Petra, you shouldn't be saying that. You shouldn't be, you've got typos and all of these things. So I've been through so much of that. And what I can say now is that at that time, it did hurt. And it does knock you. So I have been through my moments of, you know, crying, wondering, you know, if am I supposed to do this? Are people going to accept me? You know, do I have a real skill? Can I really teach sales? So I've been through that process. And now I can say, looking back, it's a good thing, because I think that rejection makes us so much stronger. And I think rejection is the greatest gift that an entrepreneur could ever have, because you need to have a thick skin in this game. Because if you don't have a thick skin as an entrepreneur, we're just not going to make it. We're not going to make it at all, because we are completely relying upon ourselves. And it's only us that can make this work. And, you know, I've come to realize that I can't depend on anyone else for validation. I can't depend on anyone else to say to me, Petra, you know, I can't do that, because the moment that I do, it takes away my own personal power. And something that I've realized during this journey is that I am powerful. And that's what I think that every entrepreneur should know about themselves. And the, you know, your frailties, you know, your weaknesses, your insecurities, all of that helps you to become so much more powerful. So, you know, embrace that and just be the person that you're made to be, because you're going to find people who are just like you, who agrees with you, and who wants to work with you, and who wants to be around you. Has that even answered your question, John?
That totally does. That totally does. I love it. Entrepreneurship, a journey to self-discovery.
Yeah, definitely.
That's awesome. So Petra, we've got to talk about your business in passing. Can you now specifically tell the listener about your business and then where to track you down online?
Yeah, sure. So I recognize that there's so many consultants and coaches. So whether you offer, you know, web design, copywriting, life coaching, whatever service that you offer, I recognize that so many entrepreneurs struggle with selling their services. So they struggle with, okay, I'm sitting down with you now, and now I've really got to share with you what is it that I do and how I can help you and take the payment. So because they struggle with that, what I do is that I help service-based business owners, and I help them to position themselves as a brand that only commands premium rates. So I help them to create packages, premium packages that start from 3,000 upwards, and I help them to master sales conversations so that they can get an immediate yes on the first call. So that is what I do in a nutshell. And what you can do to find out more about how to create and sell premium services, you can go to PetraFoster/podcast. And you can also join my Facebook group, which is called Enroll High-End Client with Ease.
Very cool. So PetraFoster.com/podcast?
Yeah, that's the one.
Very cool. And you on Facebook and you on Twitter. I'll track down all these links. And so I'll put them on Hack the Entrepreneur onto Petra's show notes for when you're done walking, jogging, working out, whatever it is you're doing right at this very moment. Those will be there waiting for you, so they're easy for you to find. Petra, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for sharing so openly. I really, truly do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing, because it's very awesome to watch.
Thank you so much, John.
When you make a wrong hire, you feel it immediately. Your team's performance, morale, and bottom line all suffer. Whether you're screening candidates for an important position or looking for ways to improve productivity, Caliper can help. To find out more, visit calipercorp.com/hack. That's calipercorp.com/hack. All right, well, that was a lot of fun. I'm really glad I got to talk to you, Petra. We had some audio issues. We tried our best to figure it out, and sometimes it got really clear, and sometimes it didn't, and we're not sure why. We do apologize for that, but the conversation outshone the minor audio sort of issues that Petra was having. And I'm glad we get to do this. So I'm also glad that it's at the point in the show now where I get to go back and listen to the conversation as you get to hear it as a third person. So I went back and I listened to the conversation with Petra, and then I went back and I listened again. That second time through the conversation, there was something I had missed. There was something Petra had said that had slipped past me. I'm not sure how, but it did. But then I heard it. It was that one thing that Petra said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
I didn't expect to happen is I didn't expect my clients to be so understanding, because I'm a very open person. I'm an open book. So I was like, look, you know, you are the first people to go through this program. And believe me, I was absolutely nervous, but you've made me so comfortable. I mean, gosh, they've made me cry because I'm really happy about how the program's going. So I was just really, really surprised at how much they really appreciated me and really liked me.
And that's the hack. Petra, Petra, Petra. I love this. I love this. This is, there's something really quite profound to this. So you started selling a program that these were the first people through it, and you didn't expect them to be so understanding. And you were surprised at how much they appreciated you, had patience with you, and liked you. And then you go on to say that this is strange, and it kind of is, but this is something we really, really, really need to understand. As entrepreneurs, especially of small businesses, the idea of people used to, and I think people might still, but I don't think it's right at all. They used to try and pretend that their business was bigger than what it is, that it was we and us for everything, even if it was just you at your desk by yourself. And this used to be something, I'm not sure why, but there's something to really, really small businesses, right? I'm super into the fact of a laptop and creating cool businesses and helping people from there, one-on-one, through courses, through books, through whatever your product or service wants to do, but really, really grasping on and being proud of being small, being personable, being personal, being a real human being, not some giant corporation behind just this mask. Like, I think as we go, more and more of us are working online, more and more of us are starting our own businesses, from side hustles to just consulting and not working permanently for companies. And these giant companies are just buying up all these like huge companies and getting bigger and bigger and faceless, more and more and more faceless. I think that we as humans really crave this connection, not just a connection to like other friends and family, but connections to the people we deal with. It's something to be proud of. And so Petra going out and just admitting that like she's nervous about this and she hopes that it goes well. And people just, they want to help you. They want you to succeed. They want to do business with you. They want to learn and grow with you. Next time you're sending out an email or writing sales copy or creating a product, don't create it as something that's trying to look bigger than you are. I mean, you can be a small, tiny, nimble company. You can make $100,000 a year. You can make $500,000. You can make $2, $3, $4 million a year and not need a huge team around you. There's tools, there's ways we can outsource stuff now that can do that, but always keep that pride in being small and being this tiny business that is just there to help those people. Be open, be vulnerable, let it out, and people will really respond to it. Petra, thank you so very, very much. All right, hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. I'm going to have links to Petra over there, Petra's podcast, The Sales and Six Mastery, and as well as some social media links from Petra as well. Plus, you can get onto the email list. The email list, the newsletter coming out every Sunday, has been rebranded and renamed as Too Small to Fail. Maybe that's why I'm going on that rant about being small. I'm loving the power and the just everything about small independent businesses. We're fast, we're nimble, we're creating really cool stuff, we're changing our lives and other people's, and I think we should be more proud of it. So yeah, the newsletter, get it every Sunday. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, whenever I sit down to write it for you, there's thousands and thousands of people over there on it, and you should probably join at this point. Too small to fail. But it's at hacktheentrepreneur.com. Just put your email into the top right there by my face, and next Sunday you'll get a message from me. All right, it's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for joining me. I really, truly do appreciate you taking the time. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.